Happy New Year's to you and your family. I'm so excited for 2023. I'm super excited for this brand new year. I feel God's going to do some incredible things. But as I sat down to prepare for today's message for this brand new year, I could not do it without reflecting on 2022. So many things happened in this past year for the Peñas, for the church, for you guys and your families. And yes, 2022 was filled with a lot of great things that happened. It was also filled with a lot of challenges for us here as a church. But God reminded me of some pretty incredible, life-changing stories that came about this past year from the messages and the teachings that were shared in 2022 from this very platform. And so we started with the 2022 sermon series, right? We started the year with in January with Like and Subscribe, right? A series on committing to your faith walk and living a more fulfilling life. And then in February, we came up with You Got a Friend in Me, right? A series on shifting your friendships from something we see as potential or optional to something we see as essential for our growth. March, we talked about How to Be Happy, a series on how to be happy at home, at work, and at church. In April, we talked about Worth Repeating, our Easter series, right? A series on understanding these particular quotes from Jesus that are worth repeating and how they impact and change the world for the better. In May, we talked about defeating depression, right? Many people suffer in quiet isolation, and we talked about, man, what would it be if we began to speak life into our own lives, right, from Scripture, and what we can do to get out and stop feeling or actually seek the help that we need. In June, we talked about I Need a Vocation, right? A wordplay on vacation. I need a vacation. It's a series on finding fulfillment in life even though you are tired and burnt out. Many of us were still trying to recover from the COVID season, right? And we were tired and burnt out. And people would talk to you, be like, shut up. Don't want to talk right now, right? And so how do we handle that? How do we deal with that? In July, we brought up a summer series called Breath, Dove, Clouds, and Fire, a series on the Holy Spirit, the who, the what, and the how of it all. In August, we talked about wordplay, right? A series on being thoughtful and intentional about everything we say, because the reality is that words shape reality. In September, we kicked off the series called The Revolutionary, a series on Jesus' views on dignity, beauty, justice, and service, and how better understanding that, how if we would be better at understanding them, they could transform the way we experience him personally. Then in October, right, which was a couple of months ago, we had Family Month at South Hills, a series on having better relationships and how it would require us to put in the work, and apply some biblical principles to see these relationships flourish. In November, we talked about the Blessed series, a series on what it means to live a blessed life. What does that look like, and what must we do to live that life? And just a couple of weeks ago, we had Christmas at South Hills, a series on the importance of the meaning of the three gifts the Magi brought to baby Jesus and how it impacts us still today. So an incredible year of series, and I'm sure many of you have kind of saw that. I mean, like, yeah, I remember that. This is the one that kind of changed things for me. This is the one that kind of helped me get through some of these things. The truth of the matter is a lot of these series were based off relationships, because a lot of you are angry elves coming out of COVID. I'm just speaking the truth. Right? A lot of us had issues with people. All of a sudden, we had this season of hibernating in our own house and doing things internally with our own family that putting yourself out there caused some friction. You didn't like the way this person breathed. You didn't. Tell you the truth. You didn't like the way this person did their job. You didn't like the way this person looked at you. You didn't like the way this person talked. You didn't like the way this was handled. Like, and so we wanted to, we understood that because I'm human, right? I didn't like some of you. No, just kidding. Right? The fact of the matter is I'm human as you. And so there's things that we're going through and we had to figure out. And so a lot of the series that we talked about in this past year were catered around developing the relationships and some of that developing some of the parts of developing relationship started off with you internally, how to be a better you. And if we could fix our heart, then that can change how we handle situations. And so I've asked some of our church members this morning who you probably know or have a relationship with to share a little bit about how the series teachings of 2022 impacted them, maybe individually or as a family, and just to share how this year went, especially in regards to a series. And so I want to start off with the Aguilars, right? Come on up here, my friend. He's running solo today. Oh, can we run a mic up here, please? Sorry, I forgot about that. We'll get a mic up here for you. Usually I'm the only man in the show here, so you can have a seat right there. I'm going to move over. Don't drink my water. thank you, sir. Appreciate it. There for you. Ali has been coming to church for a little bit. I'm going to ask him a couple of quick generic questions before he shares how this series has gone for him. Ali, how long have you been coming here to South Hills?
Since last October,
and so almost a little bit over a year.
Correct.
All over a year. How has South Hills been treating you?
Well, it's been amazing. Since it's hard to choose one of these because they all touched my family's life, okay. But I had to narrow it down to one.
Yeah, and which one was that?
That is the Blessed Life.
Blessed Life. Tell us a little bit about how the Blessed series impacted you and your family.
Well, I have to go back to a little bit to the beginning. For me and my family, it's more of our testimony, our family's testimony. But in the beginning, about over 20 years ago, I got saved. And as I was walking through my faith, me and my wife, Jill, we got saved, we got baptized. Next part was the tithe, and just struggled with that. I was in the corporate world, making very good money, struggled. I was at a life group, and the numbers never worked out, and we were on our face at our life group and just bawling. I felt like there was a bunch of chains on my chest, and as I kept on putting it off, and then that was one day that just, you know what, we wrote that check and couldn't get to church fast enough. And the minute I put it into the tithe box, that chain or the people that were standing on my chest was just gone. And after that, walking out our faith, our family faith, the Lord was speaking to me about moving forward and spending more time with my family. And after making some decisions and hearing the Lord, moving to step away from the corporate life. Again, we're on our face crying, not knowing what the Lord had in store for our family. As I slowly start stepping down out of the corporate world, couldn't afford school at the time, couldn't afford our bills. Reality was losing the cars, losing the house, losing everything. Back on our face crying, like, "What, you know, Lord, I know that you have bigger plans for me and my life, in our family." Our company went on strike, and I started doing construction during the day, working at Home Depot tree lot during the night, and then working another job in the graveyard, as my wife was still in school, to her current career now, because we were trying to move into being more available for our family. It got to a point to where I had to keep the kids at their school. went to the athletic director at that time over 16 years ago and said, what can I do? I need to keep my kids here. And he said, well, we have a porter job available. I'm like, I'll take it. He said, well, you'll clean restrooms, Ollie? I said, absolutely. Whatever it takes to keep my family here. As I was stepping down, even further down the corporate ladder, finances got really tough. There's big chunks of finances. Next thing you know, I come in, they call me for an interview. Out of 10 interviews, they're like, we're going to have this interview. There's a board members. There's a lot of people, 5-6 people. And I walked into this meeting for this porter job, and I'm like, wow, interview. And so they're asking all these questions, and then they're like, you know why you're here, Ollie? And I'm like, no, you're here for the athletic director job. I'm all, what? I'm like, oh my goodness, that'd be a dream job, I was thinking. So I left the meeting, they'll let you know if you make the top three. And I left there calling my wife, the kids are gonna be okay. Oh, you got the job? I said, not yet, but they're interviewing me for athletic director, so if I don't get that, I have the porter job. So the kids are gonna be okay. She's like, okay. End up after a few more meetings, I end up getting the athletic director job. Not seeing God's plan, I had my own office. My kids are 23 and 26 now. They were like 3 and 6, and they would be able to come to my office. We would have lunch. I'd watch them at recess. Not seeing God's plan for me was hard. But when you do hear him and you're walking through that, so this series, Blessed, just brought back everything, and God sharing in my heart to keep the faith, stay strong, stay faithful. Uh-huh. And currently, we have a grandson named Easton, as you see the shirt here, and some other finances came about, helping my daughter with his daycare and everything. And I was like, I don't know how we're going to do that. And God is faithful. And we just kept on pushing forward with the faith. I give a lot of credit to my wife, too, because sometimes when my faith's down, hers is up. And when hers is down, mine is up. So we definitely are in this together, and we lift each other up.
Amen. So. Thank you so much, Ollie, for sharing with that. Definitely the Blessed series, a reminder for him and his family, that God is faithful to come through when we are obedient to what he's called us to do. I'm going to ask the Duns to come on up here. One or all of you to come on up here. Come on up here. We got 2 chairs and one for you. Croc, don't matter. You come up. Have a seat. Oh, you have props. I do say, I got Crocs. I was like, it don't matter. There, the mic is yours. Well, let me ask you a couple of things. Thank you, sir, for coming up here. Jada, how long have you been coming to South Hills?
A couple of years. A
couple of years. And how has this church impacted just your life overall, for your family and overall?
It's been amazing.
Yeah?
Yeah. But first, I want to say I didn't write notes, but I wore Nikes.
Yes, I love it.
So at least I have that.
That works. That works.
And I brought props.
But so. There you go. So tell me, you what? Look at that. She right there. See, I don't need a speech.
I don't need
go ahead. You take over.
So this is our.
She said
series.
She was shy. By the way, she goes, I'm gonna be so nervous. Shy. She brought props. Okay, go ahead.
This is my favorite series. So hold on. This is me. So I love being friends with everyone. It's just who I am. I was born that way. So when I first met Pastor E, I knew right away it was going to work. He's super easy to get along with. He's so social. We sat together a lot during basketball, and we just talked a lot. I had no idea who he was. I just wanted to be his friend. Then came James Clark. And he was super friendly, same thing, but he gave me a little insight onto who Pastor E was, and I had no idea. He's super humble and sweet, And he said, you know, he runs a church, he speaks, you know, every Sunday. Why don't you join us? So I spoke to David, who grew up in the Christian church. He was, since the time he could walk all the way through college, super Christian-based, and he loved going to church growing up in Michigan. Once he came to California, kind of got lost and, like, tried a couple churches. Nothing felt like home. I came by myself with my kids because I was raised Catholic, and I've told Pastor E many times, I had to go to church. I never wanted to go to church. And so when I brought my kids the first time, the next week they said, we want to go to church. And I was like, that is so weird. So I spoke to Pastor E, like, my kids want to go back. He goes, yeah, that's what we do. I was raised Catholic. And I was like, oh my God, no wonder we're such good friends. So we have a lot in common. So we hit this series, and the first day we sit, he went over it. I was like, oh my God, that's me. I'm super friendly with everyone. But I thought about the Tendler family and Viviana. The minute I met Viviana, she just made me want to be a better person, a better mom, a better everything. And she's everything you need in a friend. And when we were talking about maintaining good friendship, she helped me work up to being a better friend. When we met with our girls. They were friends. They got along. But I wanted to be friends like that. I wanted to get along with her. And she was so gracious to my children. If I needed anything, she would give me something before I knew I needed it. And the minute Pastor E started talking, I'm like, he's talking to me only. You guys can all leave, because this is this is my service. But you guys stayed. And so then I invited her. And she came, and they had a different, same Catholic, Jewish background. And they had to do it growing up. And then when she came here, she's like, I want to come back. And I said, that's me. I want to, too. I want. You know, I don't need. I want. And so that was our Tendler story. A couple sermons later, I thought about the Franco family. And I invited the Franco family to church. And a little apprehensive at first because they have their own path. But I just thought of them right away in the sermon. It's done. That's the last person.
Am I entertained?
I mean, I have little ones, but like I just stuck with the big ones. And so she ended up not coming to church right away, but she came to the summer...
VBS.
Yeah, the VBS. She came to that. And the minute she locked eyes with the girls, she knew everything that they had, she wanted for her kids. And that's all she can say is like, why are they so gracious and sweet and innocent and kind and loving and so secure to come up here and sing and dance and pass out balls and throw flyers? And it was beautiful to see her want her kids to grow up like those kids. And I like spend my whole life watching them build friendships. And then their friendships, I want to build to be like them, but I'm older than them. Right? So I thought it was weird. So she finally came and with her family, and she's constantly just telling me how appreciative of me because I introduced her to you, and she knows her kids are going to end up just like that.
Amen, amen,
so,
amen.
I love you to infinity and
beyond. Oh, that is awesome. I'll take this mic. Listen, I feel bad for the people that got to come back up here after you because this presentation was incredible. But I'll give you an opportunity to share just a little bit of the church. No? No? Oh, you were just a prop. No! I had you up here. Look, she had you. She brought you the dinosaur. Just a little bit about. No? Okay. All right.
Grew up in the church in Michigan. I'm a graduate of Spring Arbor University in Spring Arbor, Michigan. I've been in Los Angeles 30 years. This 30 years in March, I've been in Los Angeles. Los Angeles has been very good to me. But I lack a lot. 1,000 blessings at the moment and 10,000 challenges. And I know my challenges are in.
Mm. Amen. I appreciate it. Thank you so much, Duns. I appreciate it. You guys are awesome. I'm going to have the Clarks come on up here. Yeah, that's how it's listed on my notes. I hope you got a lot of, I hope you brought more than props, because coming up here, the Clarks are just an incredible family. Tell us a little bit about how long have you guys been coming? Anybody want to grab the mic first?
These were matching. We kind of prepared that. He didn't know that, I did. So we've been with South Hills since July 2021.
2020, and how's been that journey thus far?
Pretty fantastic. So similar to what Jada was saying, it was James, so this is James Clark, the fork, spork.
It turned you down.
Because he eats a lot now. So James was sitting alongside Efren at the time. Now we call him Pastor E, and he has a hard time with that. And we had just been talking about, we didn't feel like we were at home where we were before. And of course, COVID brought on all sorts of challenges, but we weren't going to church. We were doing it from home, and we just didn't feel connected. And we were at a church prior to that that we had been at for a very long time, big mix-up in church and pastor and so on. We stuck it out and just didn't feel like it was our place anymore. We would only go on the Sundays that we were serving, and so we moved churches, and then we literally were talking, and the next day they started chatting over baseball, first of all. Dodgers, Yankees, I should tell you enough. And they started to talk, and James and Molly came home, and you know, Molly's obsessed with Noah, and James is obsessed with E, and so I said, yes, we got to do it. So, and I'm obsessed with Monica, so it all works out. So we came here, and we've been here ever since, and it's been a huge blessing to us.
Awesome, awesome.
The Pena family, especially.
Awesome. So we've been talking about the series, and it's funny, because when I asked you guys which series impacted you the most, you asked, can you share two different series? All right, and so since you have the mic, share which one has impacted you and your family the most, and then we'll give Mr. Clark here a chance.
Okay.
Maybe.
So for all of them, actually, but Blessed was, for me, the most impactful. I actually got to do the Blessed Bible study with E and Monica and Wendy, and that just was mind-blowing. Each week you'd come into the study and just completely changed my life. But it came at a time where I had, again, just been telling James, I don't understand this tithing situation. Here we are, all of a sudden, we have some credit card debt, which we had never had before. If we had not tithed the way we had, we wouldn't have credit card debt. So how does that work? And he said, absolutely not. We're not changing how we tithe. And then the Blessed study came. And it just helps me understand the very first week that God is the owner, not us, and that we're giving back to him what he already owns. Mm. And one of the things that he said at one point was, if we're not giving back, then we're stealing from him. And there was one other quote that was given, I don't know if it was here in the study, about how when you come to church, you're fed, and you leave and you don't tithe. Do you do that when you go out to dinner? Do you not pay your tab? So just these little nuggets kept appearing, and I thought, oh my gosh, it's another aha moment for me, another aha moment. And then it even goes further beyond the financial piece. It comes to your time and your talent. So being able to give back, whether it's in church or for your time and your talents, or even outside of church for your time and your talents. So those are a few of the Blessed study situations that have really resonated with us. And so we prayed a lot over it, and we gave above and beyond during the above and beyond time frame. And even on Christmas, I told James, I'm like, we've got to give a Christmas gift. So we gave there, and we just figured it out. We found where it needed to come from, and we did it. And I've never looked back, and I don't feel guilty about, like, oh, what's going to happen with my credit card or whatnot. we're just going to tighten our belt and figure it out and make sure that we continue to give back to God what's owed to him. So then eventually we can give above and beyond and give generously and extravagantly.
Amen.
Right?
Amen. Awesome. Awesome. Thank you for sharing that. Mr. Clark.
Hello. I wish I would have called Jada and asked her which one she was doing because I chose the same one. No. And I'm going to have a hard time following up with this. But so you've got a friend in me that resonated with me because when I was in fourth grade, we moved from one side of town to the other and I lost all my friends. So I had to reestablish friendships at a weird age, at, you know, fourth grade. And then not only that, we lived across the street from condominiums, so we had people moving in and out. So I became friends with people, and then they would leave. And I'm sort of calloused when it comes to friendships. I've always compartmentalized them, and I sort of felt guilty about that because I thought, what's wrong with me? When I was in the Navy, my neighbor, he said to me when I was getting out of the Navy and I was getting ready to drive back to California from Virginia, he goes, man, you're my best friend. And I'm like, I love you moment. How am I supposed to respond to this? You know, like, I'm never going to see you again. So, and I felt kind of bad about that. But that was like my way to protect myself, you know, from the hurt, I guess, of losing a friend. But anyway, so when we started this series, the first thing they did is they defined the different friendships that you could have: utility, entertainment, and virtue, and what those meant. And I thought, okay, so it's okay for me to have friendships like, you know, just a very shallow friendship with somebody that, you know, that I can do favors for or whatever, they can do favors for me. And so that made me go home and really take an inventory of all my friends and friendships. And it helped me set a healthy expectation with those friendships and boundaries so that I don't feel guilty and I can just maintain these friendships and I know what to expect and I know how to provide the proper friendship, you know, to the people that I'm friends with. So that's all I have. I have no props.
That's awesome. I thank you so much. They are just an incredible blessing here and whatnot. I'm going to have the Perez family come on up here, Claudia and Rick. The Perez family, as I've shared before, anyone first? First, okay. Have been around the Peñas for a long, long, long time. And they've seen our girls grow, and they followed us for, I don't even know why, but they followed us to Puerto Rico and helped us plant the church in Puerto Rico for 1 year. And we're here together again, and you guys have a blessing, not only to the Peñas, but to the church. Tell us a little bit about how long you've been coming to South Hills.
Okay, we're just kind of discussing this, trying to figure out the timeline, but I think we... About 4 years.
4 years. Yeah, you guys probably came around close when we were ready to launch. Mm-hmm. And how has South Hills impacted your guys' life as a couple, as a family?
I think for us, it's like we said, we've been friends for like 15 plus years. We've been in each other's lives and whatnot. So when we came back to reunite, that's how I see it, is that we picked up where we left off while you guys were still in Puerto Rico and here. So for us, it was a blessing just to reconnect and continue to do life. And I really believe that God chose your family to coexist with ours because you guys are a compliment to us. So just your leadership, I've seen you from where you started, you know, to where you've gone and seeing you grow and seeing you how you become a leader is what's helped us follow your family. So.
Amen. So am I the frijoles or the steak?
You're the habichuelas, bro.
Okay. Habichuelas.
Yeah, I try to keep it Puerto Rican.
Gotcha. So I asked you guys, and you guys went to the wire because it was just like until yesterday, you guys went back and forth, which one, and they couldn't decide which one impacted them the most. So, Rick, since you have the mic, tell us which one you chose.
Well, we couldn't decide because we were running on Brazilian time. But so, anywho. So I guess I'm on the same track as most people when they say that the blessers was the most impactful. I don't want to sound like a broken record, but I think Claudia and me have nailed down the whole offering, the tithing and offering aspect of it, and we've been fairly consistent. It hasn't been a big deal for us, because I think we've over the years we've just said, hey, it's something that we do. And but once we got into the series, again, like it was a refresher for me, saying like everything does belong to God, and you are a steward of that. And what you do with it is how God says, okay, either you're going to get an increase or we're going to have to scale back a little bit. But it's really God allowing you to prove to him time and time and time again that, hey, you are faithful in the little things. But it doesn't mean that it doesn't come without a challenge. Mm-hmm. And that in that month, I did come with a challenge, meaning that at work, I'm in the real estate industry, so it's been a slower year for us compared to the last couple, right? And I had a one-on-one with my manager to discuss our annual bonus. And this year, despite being a slower year, they were generous to give us even more. So when we did the quick one-on-one and say, hey, based on these performance metrics, this is what the company is going to be blessing you or giving you as a bonus. And I was like, sweet, it was a lot more than I was expecting. And right after the meeting, I started counting. I was like, okay, I'm going to move some money here. I'm going to buy this. I'm going to invest here. Da, da, da. So I had it all planned out, right? And then the next day was payday, and that's when we were supposed to get that drop. And then when I saw my account, I'm like, wait, something's not adding up. So I got log into ADP, and I see like they took like more than half. I got taxed pretty heavy. I'm like, what gives, right? I'm like, what's up, Uncle Sam? So I was pretty upset about that. Things weren't working out, and I'm like, so immediately I'm like, well, I had all these plans, so do I still need to tithe on this? So right, it was just that just the fact that thought crept into my mind. I'm like, wait, why is that creeping into my mind? I already know how it is. I'm automatic with this. And I did struggle for maybe like half a day, and I said, what God is God's, and I got to give him his part, and that's the end of it, and I'll do with what I have left. So that's how I proceeded with this, and this series was just a reminder of that everything belongs to God, and things fell into place how I wanted it to, not exactly to the T, but at least I know that I'm on track to what I want to do. So
awesome. Thank you for sharing that, Rick. Claudia, how about you? What'd you choose?
Okay, let me get my notes here because I wrote it down. It was the series How to Be Happy.
How to Be Happy.
How to Be Happy, yes. I thought that was a great series because in the world that we live in today, we're surrounded by so much negativity, bad things that's happening. So this is a great reminder that no matter what's around you, what's happening, how to be happy, that's how God wants us to live. So there's a few things that I wrote down from when Pastor E preached this message, three specific things of what people have and do in order to be happy, and it's to avoid overthinking, express gratitude, and cultivate optimism. So we should always have that in our minds because that's what God wants us to do. And with that, I do have a, I'm a little nervous.
That's fine. You're good.
The Bible. This is Philippians 4:4, and God says, rejoice in the Lord always. Delight, take pleasure in him. Again, I will say rejoice. And with that, going back to the message, how you overthink things and the things that you put in your head and how you're going to come out and give it to others. You can always also go back and to Philippians 4:8, where God says, finally, believers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable and worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's word, whatever is pure and wholesome, whatever is lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable and of good repute, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think continually of these things. Center your mind on them and implant them in your heart. So those things, if you have that in your heart, you will be happy. You will give that to others. And that's what I wanted to share, how to be happy. Always think of that starting the new year.
Amen. Thank you, Rick and Claudia. I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. for sharing with that. I love that she has taken down notes. Several of them have taken down notes as well, which is awesome. And lastly, but we never forget, they're always good. The Mayhots coming on up here. Come on up, coming up. Wendy and Paul. On here, on here. Who wants to go first? Okay. Oh, okay. Look at you grabbing that
mic. So let me wrap this up because we're, you know, a little late on time. No, I'm just messing with you. Oh, sorry, baby. Okay. So like many others of you, which I can't see, it's so bright up here. When Pastor E asked if we would share, did I take over? Do you want to talk?
Yeah, you already started.
Good. Okay, sweet. About which series impacted me the most. There were so many great ones. Wordplay was great. Revolutionary was great. But the one that I wanted to speak on was Blessed. several of you, I think it's awesome that it spoke to so many people. So I been in church for a while and thought I knew about tithing and giving and the principles behind it. And like Rick, it was just a reminder, you know, of what I thought I was doing. And sometimes Pastor E spoke about tithing. It's a matter of the heart. And we learned that more further in the growth group that we attended. And I would just encourage all of you, if it comes up again, to attend that, because it was amazing. There were so many nuggets. Every week, we couldn't wait to go back to the next week and see what we were going to learn again. So it's a matter of the heart. And there were times when I would give, and I would give him my tithe, but my heart wasn't right. You know, wasn't giving for the right reasons. And so that was one thing that really challenged me. And then there was one week he spoke about fear, that we make a lot of money decisions out of fear. And that really resonated with me as well. I took lots of notes during that series and pictures of the slides and whatnot. Doesn't want to do my face, sorry. And so one of the slides was, it's after we give that we experience sufficiency, but we want to experience sufficiency before we give, because we tend to put more trust in what we've got than the one who gives. Mm. And that was huge for me. Like, so I think my fear was that there wouldn't be sufficiency, you know, if I gave, or, you know, once I tithe, if I gave beyond that. And so I did the 90-day challenge to give beyond my tithe. That was the challenge. And in that time, I can honestly say that I've let that fear go. That fear isn't there anymore about worrying about whether or not, you know, there's going to be sufficiency or there's going to be enough. And so that's been huge. I've been able to let that go, that fear go, and God continues to work in me and in my heart. And I want to have a heart of generosity, and that's my goal for this year. That's what I want to work on this year, and that God is working in me, is to have a heart of generosity and to give extravagantly, be an extravagant giver, not only with my treasures, but as we learned in the growth group, with our time and our talents as well. So that series just blessed me tremendously. So awesome. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Paul, you're up, buddy.
I am, I guess. Closing the show here. Yeah. Right?
Save the best for last.
Oh, boy, that's no pressure. Mine was, you have a friend in me as well. There was a couple of things during the whole series. A couple of them were just being, you know, a friend that you want to have, and, you know, really thinking that through, and am I just the good fair weather friend, and when things are going bad, do I, you know, stand in the back type of thing. So it really, I had a situation during that time which made me think it through and actually step out and say, hey, you know, how are you doing? As I know you're going through something, and, you know, I didn't want to be that person to be, like, I wasn't there for him.
Yeah.
So that, along with one of the biggest things, though, in that series was that the last sermon of the series was about holding back grudges. And that holding grudges, you think, kind of hurt the other person, but in really, you're hurting yourself, and just holding back bitterness, resentment, angst, you know, all those things that go with holding things back. And about don't know, about 4 months after the series was over, I was able to put that kind of in play, not really knowing how it would play out. Just decided not to obsess over it anymore. And, you know, maybe that relationship's not going to be the same as it was before. But for myself, I felt satisfied and at peace that, you know, we can maybe move forward and maybe have that relationship. And I think one of the last cards, it's just basically said in the series, like, forgiveness is a gift for yourself. And I really felt that.
Amen. Amen. Thank you guys for sharing that. Appreciate that. Yes.
One more thing I want to say. I've been around for a while. I came with the church, you know, and some of us did. And I'm pretty much kind of an honorary Pena, just saying.
Yes. 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 Thank you guys for sharing with that. A lot of incredible stories. I hope that you're sitting there and you've heard some incredible stories. I'm sure that you have your own stories of how God or a series that was taught this past year in 2022 has impacted you and your family for the better, right? Because at the end of the day, we as believers need to continue to grow. We want to be better. And in order to do better, we need to continue to learn, right, and apply His Word. And so as excited as I am about 2022 and grateful for all of the incredible stories that have transpired through this past year, I am full of expectation and excitement for 2023 because I believe that 2023 is going to be an incredible year for not only you and your families, not only for me and my family, but for the church, overall church of God, for us here in Santa Clarita, for your friends, for your people that you're going to continue to invite and bring here. The Word of God says in Isaiah 43:19, for I am about to do something new. And one of the incredible things about this scripture and how God works is, yes, 2022 happened, and some of you are still chewing that up. Some of you are still trying to figure out how to make that happen in your life, and that's incredible. But God is always doing something new. And as you continue to process and see how to apply what 2022 has taught you, He is ready for you for 2023. And it says, for I'm about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness, and I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. And maybe you're sitting here today and say, you know what? I struggled in 2022. It was a difficult year. Not a lot of mountaintop experiences. In fact, there was a lot of valleys, a lot of low moments. But I want to encourage you today. I'm not a prophet, you know, I don't prophesize or anything like that. But I want to encourage you today, before you leave here in just a few, I'm going to ask the team to come on up here and close us out here. But as you leave here today, I want you to understand that God has something new for you. He's not going to leave you in the wastelands. He's not going to leave you hanging out to dry. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're experiencing. He knows the hurts and the struggles that you and your family are going through. And we serve a great God, a magnificent God, a ridiculous God who is capable of taking care of it all. We just have to humble ourselves and continue to submit these things into His hands, into His authority. Because after all, He is the creator of heaven and earth and all that lies within it. Every life in here is because of Him. And so I want you to leave here encouraged that He is going to do something new in 2023 in your life. Maybe your relationship sucked. Okay, then let's figure that out. God's about to do something new. Maybe your job is not what you thought it was going to be. It's not giving you the things that you need. And God is saying, hey, I'm going to do something new in your life. Maybe you're trying to figure things out mentally, spiritually, emotionally, your relationships, and God is telling us, hey, behold, right, for I'm about to do something new. Hold on. In 2023, it's going to be a new season for your life. In 2023, it's going to be filled with the things that you are expecting me to do. But guess what? I need you to step in. I need you to be a part of this journey. I need you to be a participant. Can you press in a little bit more? Can you worship me a little bit more? Can you read my word a little bit more? Can we have more and more one-on-one conversations in our prayer time? Can you be more consistent in your attendance to church, right? Because God wants more of you. As you are looking for answers in your life, God is wanting to provide those answers. But it's going to require a commitment from your end. I'm excited about what God is going to do in this new year. New teachings are coming in 2023. Let me share a little bit about them. In this first half of the season, we're going to talk about safe distance. Then first comes love. Then the economic atheist. Then the not interested. Rules of resilience. Four short words, right? And then in the second half of the season, we're going to talk about noise canceling, political powder keg, right? Tiny golden status, family month 2023. I can quit whenever I want, and then Christmas at Southfield. An incredible year full of teachings, biblical teachings, found words that are founded in the Word of God. And I believe that God is going to do something incredible in your life as you step in, as you plug in, as you are intentional to grow your faith this year. I want to grow my faith this year. I want to see my relationship with Jesus get stronger and get better. And I know what it requires of me. Students, God wants more of you. He wants to show you his purpose. And it's going to require you to step in a little bit more and less and tune out a little bit more of your friends, of the things that are outside this world. Because God doesn't want to share you with your friends. He wants to be intimate and close with you. Church, he wants to do the same thing with you. So it may mean that you got to carve out some other extracurricular things in your life in order to press in and walk in this new year. Amen.